Shortly before he enters Jerusalem, where he will be crucified, Jesus is revealed to Peter, James, and John in a mountaintop experience of divine glory called the Transfiguration. Our gospel reading today comes from the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. So we're going to do children's time later on this morning, and actually the whole congregation is going to be the congregation of kids. So you just wait and see what's going to happen. Well, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus, the Christ. Waiting can be hard. And I will tell you that I am not good at waiting. I am the kind of person that when I go into a store, I grab my things quickly. There is no reason to dilly-dally in any store. You grab what you need, you head for the checkout, and I always scan to see which is the shortest line. And that's the one that I go to because I want to be in and I want to be out. And the truth be told, even though I choose the shortest line, it's often the one that is going to take the longest to get through. I am also the guy who has absolutely no problem whatsoever using self-checkout because there is nobody in line at self-checkout and you can fly right through. I don't like waiting. If I am at an event and I decide I need to get a soda or a hot dog or something and I go to the concession stand and the line is 4 or 5 people deep, I will have an internal conversation with myself as to whether or not I am really that thirsty or that hungry. And the answer is usually no, and I go sit down because I hate waiting. And a more difficult time, I hate waiting in surgery waiting rooms. I don't know about you, but I can sit there for a while and I can drink a cup or two of the little stuff that they call coffee that comes out of that automatic machine. But then within an hour or so, my mind starts wondering what is going on behind those walls where I can't see. What is happening to the one that is in the surgery suite now? Are they running into problems? And I can tell you, I can come up with every sort of thing that is going on back there, and none of it is good. I am not good at waiting. And yet, today, we are invited to wait. So here we are on Transfiguration Sunday, which is kind of a pivot point, a hinge point in the liturgical year. So we have been living in the season of Epiphany. Epiphany is that time of aha, Christ being made known, the light of the world which no darkness can overcome. And we've been hearing the stories of Jesus being made known to the people around him. We're going to shift into a more contemplative time in the season of Lent. Not a time of darkness, but a time of contemplation. As Jesus travels toward the cross, toward his death and resurrection, and we're invited into more of a stance of pondering what it is that God has done for us through Christ's death and resurrection. So as I was reading through the scriptures again and again, preparing for worship this weekend, two words really caught my ear. The word wait, which is in Exodus, and the word listen, which is in the gospel. So let's jump into Exodus first and think about this waiting. We're in the 24th chapter of the book of Exodus, the story of the chosen people exiting Egypt. But really, you need to jump back to the 19th chapter to kind of understand the scope of what's going on. Because it's there in the 19th chapter that we hear that God's chosen people have been traveling for about 3 months now when they come to Mount Sinai. They get there, and God tells Moses, have the people wash their clothes. Have the people consecrate themselves, because I am going to become present on the mountain. Oh, and by the way, don't let anybody touch the mountain or set foot on the mountain, because any human or animal that does will die, because the holiness of the Lord is upon the mountain. And then Moses goes into conversation with God up on the mountain. He is allowed to come up. He hears about the Ten Commandments. He hears about a number of other ordinances as well. And then he comes back down the mountain, and there we are at chapter 24, where Moses is told to gather the 70 elders. And first Moses is to wait, and then the elders are to wait. If you continue reading, you see that Moses, as he goes up eventually and enters into conversation with God, he is given now the Ten Commandments. The commandments had been spoken back in about chapter 20, but now the tablets are given. And then there's instructions on how the tent is to be built, the tent which will be with the people for all of the years until they entered the promised land, and all sorts of worship articles as well. But here's the deal. Moses is having this long conversation with God, and our text in the 24th chapter said Moses was up there for 40 days. And all of the chosen people had to wait. And if you remember the story, you know they didn't wait very well. Because they began to wonder, what's going on up there? Holy smokes, it's taking a long time. What are they doing? Is Moses even alive? Are we certain that he is ever going to come back? And pretty soon the chosen people are getting nervous, and they're beginning to wonder, and they're beginning to cry out. And finally, while Moses is up getting all of these instructions and the gift of the Ten Commandment tablets, the chosen people, afraid to wait any longer, get Aaron to melt down their jewelry and turn it into a golden calf. They turn their back on the mountain and they bend their knee to a false god in the moment when they're supposed to be waiting. Waiting is hard. Not only for the chosen people, but I believe that waiting is hard for many of us as well. And maybe right now, you are living in a space of waiting. Or maybe you know a friend or family member who is, and they are deep in the midst of your prayers. People that are waiting for the doctors to call them back for the next step in treatment that they are waiting for. Maybe waiting to hear from someone about a relationship that isn't going well. And you wonder and worry, is it going to be able to stick together? What could I do? How do I pray? Maybe the waiting has to do with a job or something like that, where you are waiting to hear if you're going to be interviewed or the results of an interview, or is there a possibility for a new position, or maybe I have no idea where your waiting is. But here on this Transfiguration Sunday, maybe we should grab hold of an epiphany light of our own to help us in the midst of our waiting. You remember what we do anytime a child is baptized here, with a baptismal font down in the middle and the Christ candle there lit as well? After the baptism, we take the little candle, we light it off the Christ candle, we give it to the family, and we invite them to pull that candle out every year on the anniversary, to light it, to remember what God had done that day, marking that child as God's very own. Maybe you don't have a baptismal candle. Maybe you never got one. Maybe you've got too many years on you so that that candle became a nub and you got rid of it. But you know what? We could all make a personal ritual by grabbing our own candle and setting it somewhere in our midst, whether it is on a table or near our easy chair or somewhere. And in the midst of our waiting, we could light it and watch the flicker dance in our presence, reminding us that Christ is the light of the world, the light which no darkness can overcome. As we wait, just wait. And as we wait, we are invited to listen. For God to speak. God who continues to be present with us by the power of the Holy Spirit. I just love that statement that comes in the midst of the Transfiguration. It is an echoing from back at Jesus' own baptism, where the Spirit comes down upon him and words are heard, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Listen to him. The words at baptism and the words at transfiguration, listen to him. It is hard sometimes to wait. But we wait and we listen and we pray and we seek God's presence and God's guidance and God's love. Let it be so among us. Thanks be to God. Amen.